This is a Limestone Coast Triple M podcast. Triple M, everything Limestone Coast.
It is the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Canberra, last week, it was an amazing week in the world of federal politics, and a man who was in the thick of it is the member for Barker, Tony Passon. He joins me on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan.
Tony, what happened last week?
Well, Ewan, it was a stressful and traumatic week. It didn't start that way. I travelled to Canberra on Sunday evening expecting a business-as-usual sitting week. Monday was exactly that. Tuesday, a regular party room meeting was as remarkable as it was surprising. The Prime Minister spoke to us briefly at that meeting, and then he stood down from the Prime Ministership and called for nominations for the position of Leader of the Parliamentary Liberal Party and therefore Prime Minister of Australia.
Tony, I want to take a step back from the events of last week for a moment. It's probably been a decade since we had stable government in Australia from the point of view that we can't seem to keep a Prime Minister. Why does it seem that both sides of Parliament want to ditch somebody when they're doing badly?
I'm not sure, Ewan, and I must tell you that from my perspective, it's not something that I actively, particularly this spill, nor the spill in 2015 where Tony Abbott was deposed, that I actively participated in. When the spill was called, I voted in favour of Peter Dutton. I've made that plain to my electorate. I could, of course, hide behind the anonymity of a secret ballot, but I've always thought that your listeners and my constituents believe are entitled to hear frankly from me at all times, including on matters as difficult as this. And the reason I cast that ballot in that way is because I've had an incredible amount of personal support from Peter Dutton, and I was also particularly around issues relevant to the electorate, lower energy prices, the need to distribute population growth into the regions, other issues. But the second reason that was playing heavily on my mind, bear in mind that we were given very little time to think about this decision, was the fact we hold 21 seats in Queensland, majority of which, or at least a disproportionate number of which, are marginal. And I thought Peter gave us better prospects of retaining those seats at the forthcoming federal election.
Now is where things get fascinating, Tony, because after the week that was in Canberra, do you think the Liberal Party are in a better position than they were under Malcolm Turnbull? Because literally, not only is the whole of Australia, but pretty much the whole of the world laughing at our political system and what has gone on where we've changed Prime Minister.
I don't know, with respect to you, and that they're laughing at our political system. But to your direct question, yes, there has been transactional costs associated with changing Prime Minister. But I personally believe we're in a much better place than we were. And the reason for that is this. Disunity and bitterness has plagued the Liberal Party for more than a decade in Canberra. Now, that preceded my time in Canberra, Ewan. I entered a party room that was, in my view, divided. That division was brought to a head in 2015, an experience that traumatised me when Tony Abbott lost his prime ministership. We've seen that bitterness and disunity bubble to the surface again last week. Again, that's an experience that has caused me immense pain, stress, and other things. But what I know coming out the other end of that experience is that our party has ended the bitterness. It's ended the disunity, and the reason for that is we've elected someone who's not part of that war. It's over. Scott is a compromise candidate, and he's someone who is a natural healer. I've known Scott the whole time I've been in the Parliament. I met Scott during my first campaign, indeed before I joined the Parliament. He's an individual who has the ability, as John Howard had, to bring the two streams, classical Liberals and Conservatives, that exist within the Liberal Party together. And I say that as someone who has watched the disunity, the bitterness, and been quite ashamed of it, to be honest. And I've spoken to almost all of my colleagues over the last few days, and every single person is committed to being unified, focusing on the things we need to focus on. Those are the concerns of the Australian people, and defeating Bill Shorten at the next election.
Tony, a question that you might not know the answer to, but I wanted to just throw it out there. The Australian public last week had a lot to say about politics, and there were a lot of polls that were out in the marketplace, one of which was that that Julie might have actually been a better political leader than Scott Morrison. How is it that a popular person from a public's perspective can't get up in a party room situation?
It's a very good question, Ewan. I've got a ton of respect for Julie. She's someone I respect. She's someone who's visited my electorate, someone I've worked closely with. Mm. It's very hard to get behind the attitudes of the 85 members of Parliament. I certainly know my position, but it's very hard to understand the collective view. You would have to speak to each of those individuals separately. I'm very pleased that Julie's staying on. It might be that in the future, Julie will re-enter a leadership ballot. And it's really a question of whether and what's in the mind of each of those individual members. And you and I'm not in a position to know that, but I accept you are asking a very valid question.
Mm. Tony, tell me about Scott Morrison. I hate calling him ScoMo anymore because he's now the Prime Minister. He deserves my respect. Tell me what he's like.
Well, I don't think he'd mind you calling him ScoMo. It's something about the new Prime Minister. He's an incredibly affable, down-to-earth bloke. He's a Pentecostal, but he's someone who gets it. I think that's the best way to explain Scott. He's worked hard his whole life across a number of fields, particularly when he worked with Tourism Australia. He was the person behind the Where the B Are You campaign that involved Laura Bingle. He's been Minister for Immigration in our government. He's been, obviously, the Treasurer. He's a stable, steady hand. And he's someone, as I said, he was well-respected across the Parliament, across the streams of the Liberal Party, and who's someone who will bring us together. He's a formidable campaigner, a former state director of the Liberal Party in New South Wales, and, you know, I was very pleased on Sunday when I turned on a radio station to hear him calling in just as a listener, and saying, look, I've been a long-time listener to your program. I thought I'd call in. I've had a big week.
Sensational. Mate, what do you think his thoughts were on Monday morning when the polls came out and there had been a dip in the polls?
Oh, Scott and all of us expected all of that. The reality is, as I said earlier, there are transactional costs associated with these decisions. Mm. It sets a base off which Scott can work. And I'm confident, in fact I know, he has our full support and we're all looking forward to working every hour God made to ensure that we defeat Labor at the next election. I mean, this is a Labor Party which in South Australia and the South East sold our forests. It's a Labor Party that ended the live export of cattle. We cannot allow Bill Shorten to be Prime Minister of Australia, and that'll be my focus.
Tony, it has been sensational to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much, because I know that you are incredibly busy, especially after the week that was. It's been fascinating to talk to you this morning. And in the lead up to a federal election, hopefully we have a chance to chat a whole lot more.
I'm happy to talk, Ewan, and thank you for the opportunity.
This is a Limestone Coast Triple M podcast. Classic hits 963 Triple M.